Thank you, Dean and Orlita, for that song. Beautifully done. Great message to that song. Thank you for singing for us tonight. They are about to embark on probably about a 6,000-mile journey. Am I anywhere close to it?
About 4,200.
I missed it a few thousand. They're going to the Yellowstone National Park. Over in Romania, they say, boom, drum, which is good travel. I wouldn't get in a vehicle, wouldn't even consider it. But we'll be praying for you. Trust you have a good time and good travel, and you don't have any problems. We're going to conclude our study on future things next Sunday night. We're going to finish it out. And then the first Sunday night in August, we're going to get into a new study. And I've offered for people to give me suggestions, something they'd like to study or hear studied, or a topic, or anything. So far, I've had the book of Zechariah suggested to me, and I am considering that. But anyone else that would have something that you'd like to have studied on Sunday evenings, I'm open to your suggestions. I'll certainly pray over them, and wherever the Lord leads me, I will be willing to go. All right? So tonight and then next Sunday night, then we will begin a new study on the first Sunday night of August. The kitchen renovation is coming near to an end. The cabinets will be putting in tomorrow. And probably by this time next week, the cabinets will be installed. We'll then have a 2 or 3 week for the countertops to be put on, a few minor things here and there to be done. Randy got us a good price at Lowe's. We got two new refrigerators, two new ranges, a double oven, a new range and a double oven, and it's all sitting down there in the fellowship hall. The floor is all in. The nursery is finished. Beautiful. You wouldn't know. I've had people say you wouldn't know it was the same building. It has taken on such a change. And so anyway, I'm not saying when, but when it's all finished, we're going to initiate it. We're going to have a special day. I'm not sure exactly when that'll be. It just depends on when everything gets finished. And we will be having something on that Sunday night. We'll be having something on that Sunday morning, and we'll be having something on that Sunday night. All right? And on the Sunday night, there'll be some food included. So anyway, we're just kind of waiting to see how things work out here with the cabinets and the countertops and getting everything hooked up and everything finished up. Donnie and Jerry and Dave, just a tremendous, tremendous job. And Kathy's been in here working. I don't know who all else has been involved in this project, but we deeply appreciate all the hard work and the time invested in it. It looks beautiful. Now we're just waiting for the opportunity to be able to utilize it. All right. So be in prayer about that. Let us have prayer for our study tonight. Our Heavenly Father, once again we come to Thee with thankful and grateful hearts that we're honored once again to gather together on this Sunday evening in Thy presence with Thy people, Thy Word. And once again, we lean and look to You for guidance, to teach us, to guide us into truth. Nothing can be accomplished spiritually without the Holy Spirit of God. You're the author of this book, and You live in our hearts. Only you can illuminate us to the understanding of the spiritual truths to which we learn and have opportunity to learn each and every time we come to the service. So we, again, on this Sunday night, look to you. Guide us tonight and lead us and bless our time as we center around some thoughts in closing this 2 to 2.5 year study on future things. So, Lord, again, clear our minds from the clutter of the day and life and activity. Cause our hearts to be open. Come and fill us with all good things from only that can come from Thee for our hearts in these turbulent times. We'll thank You and praise You for all that You accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. Three symbols of life that we was looking at. There's the tree, there's the water, there's the leaves. Symbols of life. Blood is a symbol of life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. There are many symbols of life, but there's three distinctively given in chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. And we first met the book, the tree of life in the book of Genesis. In the garden, there was the tree. Man had access to it. He could eat and live forever. After he fell, he was put out of the garden. God put guards around the tree, cherubims, so that no man could come and eat of it. And he kept man from it. God had another avenue. It would involve a tree, but God had another avenue. And after man confessed in Genesis chapter 3, then he made that promise of the seed of woman, that it would come and conquer evil. And certainly Calvary is that symbol of the tree of life. So you have those three symbols, the water of life, the tree of life, the leaves of life. And now I want to just summarize a few things here tonight, and then we're going to do some explaining. And then next Sunday night, we're going to close out the study. If you'll turn with me to chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, and notice in verse 3, there'll be no more curse. Man's lived under a curse ever since the fall, right after creation. Man's lived under a curse. Our bodies, as soon as we're born, begins to die. You don't think about that. You don't sit around the kitchen table and talk about it. But the moment we're born, we start to die. And Paul talks about that curse of the earth, the curse of the body, curse of life, no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb of it be in it. Now remember, the little word "it" refers to our home. Our home. When you find that word "it," and it is there many times, but it describes the eternal home of the saints. Outside the home are nations and kings in eternity, and the kings come into the city and they bring their honor and glory. I believe that refers that they're coming to worship. They're coming in. Now, to what degree that all is, we're not clear. And it's not clear, and I'm not going to speculate. I'm going to show you something. So the throne of God is in our home. It's in the city. And there's life in the city, symbols of life in the city. There's the water of life, and there's the tree of life, and then there's the leaves of the tree that produces fruit for life, and a new fruit every month. There's time in eternity. Every month, that refers to time. Now, I want you to notice The last phrase, this is what I want to center in on. There's just a few things I want to finish up and center in on here. Notice the last phrase in verse 3. His servants shall serve him. And notice the last phrase of verse 5. And they shall reign forever and ever. That's us. So serve us in eternity. To what degree? If it has connection with the nations on the outside of the city, we're not told. But if you hold your finger right there in Revelation 22 and flip back to a verse that we studied over a year ago, and I want to recall your mind to it, Revelation 5. This is the redeemed. The redeemed. We'll look at that word somewhat on Wednesday night. In verse 9, this is it. Remember, in a prophetical book, sometimes you're in the past, sometimes you're in the present, and sometimes you're in the future. And that's what I'm going to explain to you the second half of our message tonight, or our study. And they sung, this is future, they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. On the earth, we're going to reign. And we do in the millennial kingdom. We reign, we rule and reign with him in the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. But this says that we're going to serve him. Think of it tonight, that people out there that say, I'm a Christian, and the person they serve is themselves. That's the most important person that exists, is me. If they're really saved, they're going to get that corrected one day. They're going to get that corrected. We're going to serve him in the last part of verse 3. And the last part of verse 5, they shall reign. That's rule. That's rule. This is the saints. So not only does it refer to the time of the millennial, but it refers to the time of eternal. And reigning is a kingdom term. Kingdom term. So we serve him and we reign with him forever and ever. That's eternal. That's eternal. So we have service waiting for us in the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. And then we have service waiting us in the eternal forever and ever and ever and ever. Forever. To what degree? We're not told, and we're not going to speculate. Now, verse 4, I'm just finalizing a few things. And it says, it calls it. It talks about our home. When it says they, it talks about us. And they shall see his face. You ever think about that? Where's your songbook, Frosty? You got it back there. I'll find one. Do you ever think about standing in front of Christ? This songwriter did. listen to what she wrote, written by Carrie Breck. Never heard of her before. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? There's somebody that was thinking about it and wrote about it. And we sing it and have sung it without ever giving much thought as to the event itself. I don't know about you, but that causes me to tremble sometimes. To tremble. Face to face, what will it be? And it says, they shall see his face. Face to face. And I'm not going to elaborate on that much. But I will say this. It'd be a good idea for you to ponder on it. Often. Often. Ponder on it. Think about it. Someday, I'm going to stand face to face with Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. That event's going to happen. It's going to happen just as sure as your heart's beating. If people really believed that, they'd change how they lived. They'd change how they talk. They'd change the way they act. If people really believed that. Face to face. They sing it, they say it, they quote it, but do they really give mental thought to the activity, the real event of activity, face to face? Then, secondly, his name shall be in their foreheads. Now, if you remember back in the 144,000, he sealed those 144,000. It was a protective seal, just like we're sealed today with the Holy Spirit of God. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. Sealed. And you can't get it unsealed. It's a work of God. And that seal was placed upon the 144,000. It was a seal of protection. Death couldn't hurt him. Satan couldn't get to him. Sealed. Satan had his mark as well. Satan had his mark. We're moving very quickly. There's so much propaganda out there in society tonight. You don't know who to believe and what to believe. But they say we're going to a coinless, paper money, doing away with any kind of currency or coins. Card only. I don't know if it's true. We'll find out. But anyway, we'll bear his name. And we just won't say I'm a Christian. You know, it's so light and so easy to say I'm a Christian. If I really was, and I really believed, I'm going to stand before him and face him. It would change the way I live. It would change the way I act and react and live. Boy, there are so many out there hanging around in different places tonight, and they say they're going to heaven, and they say they're saved, and they've been born again. They've got no interest in church. They've got no interest in spiritual things. They've got no interest in church. They've got no interest in anything. They don't believe it, because if they believed it, they get things right. They don't believe it. They say it, but they don't believe it. So we're going to see him, and then we're going to wear his name in our foreheads. Verse 5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall, there it is, reign forever and ever. That's all future, future wording, shall. They shall serve. They shall reign. They shall. That's future. That's being in the present, being in the present and explaining the future. Now I want to deal with one more verse, and that's in verse 6, and then I'm going to do some explaining, and then we'll go home on this hot Sunday evening. My air conditioner has not shut off all day. It just runs all the time. I hope it runs all night long. Now in verse 6, he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants. That's his people. You see, God has sent ahead. God has sent through John and the holy prophets an unveiled, and Zechariah has a lot of this in it. And he sent them to show us the things which must shortly be done. And that word shortly doesn't mean a time span, 5, 10, 15 minutes, half an hour, 2 hours. No, it means quickly. It's going to be quickly. Like quickly means a blink of an eye, a twinkle of an eye, quickly. It's going to happen quick. It's going to happen quick. You're not going to have any time to go home and get your business ready. You're not going to go home and get your affairs ready. You're not going to have any time to go home to make things right with your wife or your husband or your brother or your sister. You're not going to have time to go home and make things right with God. Nope, it's going to happen. And God sent ahead of time, plenty of time ahead, God sent to show his people, those servants that's going to serve him in eternity and reign with him in eternity and live with him for eternity, he sent them, the prophets, to show what's coming. So no one can say, I didn't know. Oh, really? Well, your pastor taught that on Sunday nights when you were sitting at home, too lazy to get in the vehicle and go to church, or you were angry with sister and so and so, or you was angry with brother so and so. That was taught, but you weren't around. We have a lot of things cleared up in eternity before we serve him and before we reign with him, and that's going to be taken care of at the judgment seat of Christ. So there's no excuse for God's people that say they're Christians, that say they're saved, that say they're going to heaven. There's no excuse. They have been sent way ahead of time to show what's coming. There's no excuse. Nobody will be able to say to the Lord, well, I didn't know that. Well, really? Really? Sorry, but that won't pass up here. That might pass down there, but it's not going to pass up here. That's all going to be dealt with at the judgment seat of Christ, and many people are going to lose service. I want to tell you, it's time for God's people to get right with God and with their brothers and sisters. And I'm not joking. It's time, and it's high time. And Peter said it's time for judgment to begin, and it begins at the house of God. And it's time for people to get some things right in their life and quit playing church. It's time to get things right. I'm serious. We're running out of time. So we got no excuse. He came to show us. He came to show us. And we've been teaching about it. What's coming for the last 2.5 years. And I'll guarantee you there wouldn't be 5% that heard all the studies that have a clue what's coming. Not 5% have a clue what's coming. That's sad. upset. Now, I want to explain now some verses that seem to be troubling. There it is. God sent it. This is ahead of time. So we've been pre-warned. Now, go back with me to chapter 21, and we're going to clear up some things here tonight. We know at the end of chapter 20, Satan is in the flame of fire. We know that in verse 10 of 20. Chapter 20, verse 10, Satan is gone. The Antichrist is gone. The false prophet is gone. Then we know of the great white throne judgment. We studied it, where all the lost, all of those that die, I've always said it's not how you live, it's how you die. And if you die and you don't have faith in Christ, you are dead, twice dead, to be separated from God forever and ever. And there's the judgment, the final judgment, the white throne. And they're in hell, they're in the lake of fire, all the dead, small and great. And whoever, in verse 15, was not found in the book of life, there is another sign of life. You got a tree of life, water of life, leaves of life. There we have the book of life. If your name is not in that book, you're in the fire. You're in the fire. Don't make any difference what you said. Don't make any difference what you've done. Doesn't make any difference who you, what the, I don't bear anything on eternal with God. If your name's not in that book, that's where you're going. If my name's not in that book, that's where I'm going. That's the deciding factor. Verse chapter 21 begins eternity. Begins eternity. But there's pauses, and those pauses take you to the present. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. That was the present that God was showing him of the future. This is very difficult when you deal with prophetical books. And if God leads me to the book of Zechariah, I'm not opposed to it. It's a wonderful book. But there is difficult passages in it. Extremely. And I love that challenge because I learned. So, what you got to do when you get into these is figure out where he's at. Is he in the present? Because some of these were in the future. We're actually, it reveals to us in the future. Now, there's four verses or four passages. One may have more than one verse that I want to look at. Now, chapter 21 and chapter 22 very clearly is about eternity. And I read this verse a few weeks ago. I'm going to go back to it again in chapter 21 and verse 8. The fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That verse is given after the great white throne judgment is explained. That verse is given. So that's dealing with the present. All people. And so is verse 7, dealing with the present. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. That's talking about what do you do? Listen, that's talking about, listen, my friends on Facebook, that's talking about what do I do with Jesus now? Now, not in the future. What do I do with Jesus right now? Because someday, if I'm a Christian and I'm saved and forgiven, thine faith, I'm going to stand face to face with him. And the songwriter wrote, Carrie wrote, what will it be? What will it be? So, when he wrote to the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he concluded every one of the letters, each of the seven, with he that overcometh. And we taught a two Sunday night, this was 2 years ago, we taught on two Sunday nights on being in the overcomers. Be an overcomer. Be an overcomer. So that's talking about the present. Why do you make a decision in the present? Because my prophets and my preachers have just showed you what's coming. I've just told you and I've just explained to you what's coming. That's why you better be in the overcoming now. So he showed us the future to affect us in the present. And my question tonight is, all of these people out here that claim to be Christians, if they really believed the Bible, they would change how they live and what they do and how they lie and make excuses. They're not honest. I told somebody one day, I said, they was using some type of a disease or some type of a physical problem. And I said, sir, you better be careful because God may make what you're using an excuse a reality in your life. He got mad at me and left and slammed the door. And 2 weeks later, he had it. Oh, people, we're not getting by with anything. We're not getting by with anything. Nothing. Nothing. Now, so there is one verse. But the fearful, the unbelieving, that's talking about right now. And he showed us the future to affect the present. So I can be prepared for the future. Another verse. And we referred to it. Verse 27, the last verse of chapter 21. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, that it is our home. Nothing going into our home that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Another warning. And he's again showing the future to affect the present. You live, I knew a man, and I'm not going to say from where, not around here, but I knew a man that lied so much he didn't even know that he was lying. It was just a way of life. And a preacher told me, he said, isn't it awful? A preacher said to me one day, he said, the man lies so much it's just a way of life that he don't even know it. And a person that lies that much lies and lies to cover the lies. People better start changing the way they live. Now, there's another verse. Warning the present by showing them the future. How many in here in their right mind tonight, as Judge Judy would say to the defendant or the plaintiff, either one, you're not on any psychomedicine, are you? You haven't seen a psycho doctor, have you? You've not been described any psychological medicine, have you, in the last 7 days, have you? We're all in our right mind here, right? Who in our right mind in here tonight? Who in our right mind in here tonight wouldn't want to be ready to stand before him? Who in their right mind? Now, who in their wrong heart is not prepared to stand before him. And only individually can answer that question. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't some fantasy. This is going to happen. And that verse was very clear. He showed us the future to affect us in the present. That's why you have these verses mixed. And that's why you have these troubling verses in eternity, abomination, lies, fearful, unbelievable. That's why you have these verses mentioned in two chapters that have to do with eternity. Because he pauses to deal like an invitation. He pauses to say, hey, you want to get things right now? Now that I've shown you what's coming? Look what you're going to miss. And look where you're going to. And look who you're going to stand before. I'm showing you these things now. And that's why you have these verses. Two more. Two in chapter 21. Two in chapter 22. Now, let me see where I want to pick up because we're running out of time. Yeah, let's pick up in chapter 22, verse 10. He saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, that's present right now. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. You have that verse mixed in eternity, talking about filthy and unrighteous and defiled and all of that. It says, you either let Christ change your life, or you're just going to go on being unjust. And you're going to continue to go on being filthy and unclean. Unless you believe what I've been telling you. And let the righteous continue in their righteousness of God. Now, verse 15, where we concluded last week. For without are dogs. It's talking about eternity. Without, I'm in chapter 22, verse 15. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Without what? Outside the city, our eternal home. Now, when you get to verses like this, there is a process that we call the process of elimination. And I'll just give you a couple because there's a whole list. When you get to a verse like that, and seemingly by reading the verse, outside of our eternal home are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, how can that be when they've just been judged and put into the lake of fire? How can they be outside of our eternal home? But if you read the verse, the way it's explained, that's what you come up with. So when you come to verses like this, and Zechariah is full of them, when you come to verses like this, you go through a process of elimination. Number one, we know what it does not teach. So you have to go through the process of what this cannot be saying. Before you begin to understand what it is saying, you have to go through the process of elimination of what it is not saying. And you do that by using other scriptures that's clear, that are not in prophetical books, that's in doctrinal books and so forth. And that, by the process of elimination, you know what it is not saying. So we know, and I don't have the time tonight to go back and dig up several verses to explain what I mean. I'm just saying you use the Bible through a process of elimination to say and to prove it's not saying that. So it is not saying that outside of our eternal home are dogs and sorcerers and murder. It's not saying that. You say, well, it's not saying that. What is it saying? Remember the principle, I've shown you the future to affect you now. And what I showed you by the future should change you now so that you now can get ready for the future. Verse 14 explains it. Blessed are they that do his commandments. What are his commandments? Not the moral Ten Commandments, not the Decalogue, not the ceremonial law, not the social law. What are his commandments? His commandments are two, and Jesus said it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as I have loved you. You love people the way I've loved you. You love God with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and then you love others like I've loved you. That's it. And if people practice that, what a difference it would make. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life. Where is the tree of life? In the city. And it bears fruit every month. It has leaves, and then leaves help the nations that are outside the city. So when we love God with all, and if we love the Lord God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, it'll be evident, because Paul said, if you love God, the same will be known of you. If you love the Lord, it will be evident in your life. That's what Paul said. He that loveth the Lord, the same shall be known of him. That they may enter into the gates of the city. Now, hold on to your seats. Your home exists right now. It's there. And some of our folks that used to sit here are in there. They're there. They're in their home. Jesus said, I go to prepare a shack for you. I go to prepare a mansion for you. And sweetly and softly, at many different times and many over the past 8 years that I've been here, softly and sweetly, Jesus swept through and took one of our loved ones. And many of you in here know who they are. They are in your life and part of your life. And they're up there in their home. That home exists now. And God showed us our home. God showed us what it's like. He showed us the wall. He showed us the gate. He showed us the foundation. He said it's a pure gold, so transparent like glass. The streets are gold. Not only the streets are gold, the whole city is gold. And it exists now, right now. It exists. And outside of that city that exists right now are dogs. And whoremongers and sorcerers and murderers. The future is warning the present right back to the same principle. I'm showing you the future to affect you in the present. Everybody understand that? That's it. That city's up there. I don't want to get into recognizing names and stuff like that. Too sensitive, and I'm not going to do it. But many of our loved ones are up there. They're in their eternal home. And tonight, that home exists, and outside of that home is not great nations. And outside of that eternal home that we're going to one day is dogs and sorcerers and murderers and whoremongers. And God said, I've sent my prophets, I've sent my teachers, I've sent my preachers to show you what is coming so that you can take the future and prepare now in the present. So when you come to verses like that, you have to have a process of elimination. And I've actually heard people say, well, somehow evil exists in eternity. Wow. Here's the whole principle, and we'll go home. God showed us, and remember, eyes not seen, ears not heard, of the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But some are discerned in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Some are discerned, but only by the Spirit of God. So I've showed you all of these things. I've unveiled all of these things. I've revealed all of these things in the present so that you can prepare for the future. And those four troubling verses about unbelievers and whoremongers and murderers and liars and so forth, even outside the city, that's present right now. But I can guarantee you, in the future, when it's all done and the judgment's white throne judgment's over and Satan's gone and evil's gone and they're all cast in the lake of fire, there's not going to be any dogs in eternity outside our home. There's not going to be any evil outside our home. There's not going to be any murderers outside our home. This is the present. Now. And they people do exist right now. And they're outside of that home. And they're not going to get in that home unless they change some things. They're not going to get in there. They're not going to get to the tree of life unless they change some things. Everybody with me? Everybody on the same page? There it is. There it is. Now next week, we're going to finish up. We're going to finish up some things and do a little bit more explaining and close next week with the sweetest prayer ever prayed. We're going to close this study of over 2.5 years with the sweetest prayer that was ever prayed. All right. I am teetotally wore out. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for my new body. This one's tired. And I just thank God I'm able to get up, and I have somewhat of a faculty up here that still works a little bit. And I can get up and go somewhat and do what I can do for the Lord. I want to serve him until I die, whenever that day may be or he comes. I want to serve him faithfully. And I trust you do too. I don't doubt it a bit. Folks, we've got so many, even our ministry right here, that needs to get some things right with God. They need to get some things right with God. And they better get it. I don't know how they justify what they're going to. Now, I know they've already, like Judge Judy says, said, I know you've been in the mirror, in front of the mirror for 3 hours, and you've rehearsed it, and you've got it all down. But I want you to know this is not an audition. This is my show. So what all you've got rehearsed, forget it. All you have to do is tell me the facts. That's it. Just the facts. So I don't know what they've got all rehearsed to justify the way they live. I'd be scared to death. And some of them are up in years. I'd be scared to death of excuses that people use to not be a part of ministry and service and so forth. I know of two people, they spend their days watching soap operas. That's what they do. They spend their days watching soap operas, whatever they are. I don't ever talk about soap or dish soap or whatever it is, some type of soap. Operas. Oh my. I got so aggravated this afternoon, I just shut the television off. We was watching a couple things, an old John Wayne movie. And then just advertisements. News came, I was watching a little bit of the news. They were on for 30 seconds. They was off for 4 minutes, came back on 30 seconds, and talked about the brutal slayings on Friday or Saturday down in Texas, and went right back to commercials with MyPillow. Yep. And I went, enough. This world, I'm ready for eternity. For without. We're going to deal with that a little bit next Sunday night before we look at the rest of the explanation. How do you deal with that which is without when you're living in the present right now? We're going to deal with that next Sunday night. How do you deal with that which is without and stay an overcomer? Stay an overcomer. Okay? All right, thank you for coming out on this warm Sunday night. We'll ask Bert to come to the piano so we're not dismissed into silence. Shall we stand? At this time, we'll be saying goodbye to our Facebook friends. Thank you for connecting with us tonight. I'm an old-fashioned preacher, as many of you. We've got new viewers every week. New view today, a new one that joined with us. I have no idea. But I'm an old-fashioned preacher. And I make no apologies for it. And we stand on the King James Bible in this church. And we still preach the book and believe it. And still preach the blood and believe it. And practice what this book is the best by the grace of God that we can. So we trust that the messages and the services from this ministry is a strength to you. If you don't know the Lord, oh my. If you don't know the Lord, contact me. Contact me. Through Facebook, my personal page, and I'll get back in touch with you. Don't go on living. God showed us the future to change us in the present, to prepare us to go there someday with him. So at this time, we'll be saying goodbye to you. We'll be back streaming live Wednesday night at about 7:20. So until then, stay safe, friends. Thank you for connecting with us on this Sunday evening. All right, thank you for coming out. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Our Father, once again, we thank you for this Sunday night. Thank you for the privilege that we have as a child of God to come into your house, into your place where you said two or three gathered together, there I am in the midst. And we come for no other reason than to be with each other. We don't come to church. We are the church. We come to the service, but we don't come to the church. We are the church. And Lord, help us as members of your church, brothers and sisters in Christ, to support one another, to pray for one another, to sustain each other, and help us in these trying days in which we live to stay in the arena of the overcomer, because outside, without, it's not pretty. Not pretty in the present day in which we live. So help us, Lord, we pray, as we struggle along and continue on in these perilous times in which we find ourselves living. Again, leaning upon thy word and thy truths, help us, dear Lord, we pray, to apply them, and may they be in our life applicable, changing our life day by day to the glory of Christ. So all the services today, as we leave this building tonight, we're thankful. We appreciate all that you've done for us. You've honored us with thy presence. Dismiss us now. Keep us safe. Keep our church family safe and protected until we meet on Wednesday night. Dismiss us with thy blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks again for coming out tonight.